Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ruth. We are still in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, with our in-depth verse-by-verse study of the ministry of Jesus Christ, our God, our Lord, our Savior. Welcome. Hopefully you've listened to the previous session, whereby, still here in Luke chapter 14, I explained how the Lord Jesus was in a prominent Pharisee's house. And while he was there, he had done a phenomenal teaching about humility. So we are going to pick it up here in Luke 14 verse 15. It's a continuation from the previous session. So please go back and listen to the first 14 verses in the Gospel of Luke 14, so you can approach today's session in context. But the gist of these upcoming verses is that the Lord Jesus would teach about the significance of accepting God's calling in your life. And these will pertain to the believer and the unbeliever. Okay, so that is what we will learn here. So the setting is that the Lord Jesus, as I just explained, is still in this Pharisee's house, and then a Pharisee would ask him a question about the kingdom of God, and then the Lord Jesus would take advantage of that and teach a parable. And if you are not aware, a parable is a simple illustration or a story that highlights a spiritual and or a moral lesson. In this case, the Lord Jesus would talk about how the kingdom of God operates as far as God reaching out and inviting people into his kingdom, and how, unfortunately, at times people reject that and there are consequences for that. So real quick before I get into these verses here, as we proceed, keep in mind that in this parable, the master here refers to God the Father, and the servant refers to the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And as I already explained, the application of this parable pertains to believers and unbelievers. Okay, so let us get into the verses proper. Luke 14, verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, heard what? As I said in the previous session, one at the table, meaning one Pharisee who was sitting at the table with the Lord Jesus, heard the Lord Jesus taught about humility in the kingdom of God. So this Pharisee would say this. He said to Jesus, this is his Pharisee saying to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Verse 16, the Lord Jesus would reply and begin his teaching in parables. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." Let me explain something. Back then in that ancient Jewish culture, when a banquet is about to take place, or an event or a wedding, anything of that caliber, two announcements would usually be sent out. The first announcement would be sent to the potential guest to let them know that they have been invited to attend an event. It could be a wedding or a banquet. And then a second announcement or invitation would be sent out to inform the guest that the host is ready so they can come. Okay, so that is how it operated back in that culture. So the Lord Jesus is saying right away in verse 16, a certain man has sent out the first announcement that the guests are invited to attend this banquet. In verse 17, at the time of the banquet, at the time meaning that a second invitation has been sent out that the banquet is ready for the guests to attend. Okay, so let me reread that. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. So keep this in mind. So now this, the guests who were aware of this banquet, just if it's sudden, they are making all kinds of excuses why they would not be able to attend. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. So we see how the guest is already making some kind of lame excuse. Verse 19. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Again, we see more excuses. We are already learning something here. The guests were paying more attention to the earthly things, to their possessions, than the invitation from God. So they were ignoring the invitation from God. Remember, I said in this parable, the master is God the Father and the Son is the servant. Verse 20, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. So we see a lot of excuses that people are making. Now, before we even continue with this parable, let me just bring this to the here and now with regards to the unbeliever. This is a classic example where God, if you are listening to me and Jesus Christ is not yet your Lord and Savior, God is speaking to you through me. God, it is God's will. 2 Peter 3:9 and throughout the scriptures, for none to perish, but for all to have eternal life through Christ Jesus. God is continuously sending out invitation. How? Just as I am speaking to you right now. When the gospel message is being preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, that is an invitation to the unbeliever to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, because Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Salvation comes only through the man Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God is speaking to you. Open your heart. Don't make excuses. Today, modern day excuses are things such as, well, you know what? I am such a sinner. God cannot accept me. I have to be ready. No, you come as you are. You cannot fix yourself. That's why you need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Come as you are and receive the salvation which is available through Jesus Christ, and God will start to cleanse and mold and shape you into the image of Christ. Other excuses from unbelievers are like, well, there are other ways that lead to God the Father. That is not true. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation comes only through one man, the man Jesus Christ, because only Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world. He died for your personal sins on that cross, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. All other so-called religious leaders are still dead. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He backed it up with eyewitness verifiable evidence, raising the dead, performing miracles. Only Jesus Christ experienced a supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit. He did not inherit any sinful nature at his conception, making him God in the flesh. So there are no excuses. So open your heart to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal more of Christ to you. We can make excuses all we want, but on that last day, if we reject Jesus Christ and we die, we will separate ourselves from God the Father, but that is not God's will. That would be your will. You know, before I even proceed to talk about the other excuses that believers make, I want to just give you an opportunity right now to just invite Jesus Christ into your heart as God and Lord and Savior. I have been saying that there is only one name given unto mankind by which salvation must come, the man Jesus Christ. I had explained why Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, sinless, perfect at his birth. I had already explained how all other religious leaders came into this world and inherited that sinful nature that the Bible teaches that all human beings born into this world by a woman inherit a sinful nature because of that transgression committed by Adam and Eve, as recorded in Genesis chapter 3. Because Adam and Eve were the common ancestors of the human race. So when you were born into this world, you inherit a sinful nature, the tendency to just sin. But Jesus Christ, the only human being in the history of the world, experiences supernatural conception. He was birthed sinless. He bypassed that sinful nature because his conception was supernatural by God the Holy Spirit. He qualifies to be your Messiah. So if what I am saying, you're receiving this, the Bible teaches that if you believe these things in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ will come into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. No excuses here. God loves you. He died on that cross for you. So you may say, what do you have to do? The Bible says it is simple. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and you shall be saved. If you are believing these things, just repeat this prayer after me. Just say, dear God, thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Today, I believe in Jesus Christ as the only Messiah. Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart and change me. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you said that genuinely and you meant it, you don't even have to repeat the prayer verbatim as I just did. But if you believe that in your heart and you said something similar to what I just said in prayer, God has accepted you, and based on the authority of the word of God, I declare you a child of God. Instantly, something has happened to you supernaturally. God, the Holy Spirit, has sealed you. You are a child of God. You don't need to figure it out. You can pray and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will start to reveal more of Christ to you. Welcome into the kingdom of God. Friend, contact me. Just check the description box and contact me through email that you said that prayer genuinely. I want to be able to send you a book to help you to grow in your relationship with God through Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So no more excuses. Now, before we continue, here are some of the excuses that believers, those who have confessed faith in Jesus Christ, often make. The Bible teaches us that once we come into this relationship with God, each of us has a unique calling in our lives. Are you one of those Christians that you are sensing in your heart that God is calling you to be a minister, to be an evangelist? Is God calling you to a specific area in ministry and you're fighting that? No excuses. When God calls you by faith, we are called to receive that calling and trust God to lead us through that calling. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we should stop making excuses why we are not equipped to do the work of God. When God calls you, he will equip you with the boldness and the know-how. He will send people along your path to help you. God is not going to call you and then don't equip you. You are already equipped because you, as a believer, you have the power of God in you through God, the Holy Spirit. So if you're sensing that God is calling you to service as an evangelist, pastor, missionary, by faith, open your heart to receive that calling. Because it is only when you receive that calling that you will actually begin to live. Because the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the strength of the Lord will start to manifest in your body. You would be emboldened. But if you reject the calling of God, you would be miserable. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't enjoy anything else. Okay, so by faith, step into your calling and just start operating step by step and trust God to open more doors for you. Okay, all right, I hope you received that. So let's go back. I'm going to just reread verse 20 for context. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Excuses, and I had just explained that. We are now in verse 21. The servant, now remember, the servant is the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. The servant came back and reported this to the master. The master is God the Father. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. So we see how that in this story that the Lord Jesus is saying in this parable, the servant had been instructed by the master to just open the door for all people, all types of people to come into the kingdom of God. Now, keep this in perspective. When the Lord Jesus came at his first coming, he came primarily for the Jews, for the nation of Israel, but they rejected him. Because the nation of Israel accepted the first invitation by God. How? They accepted Moses. Moses was a prophet of God. They accepted the Old Testament prophets. So they knew their calling in that regard. They accepted their calling as the chosen one. Even though they were disobedient to Moses, even though they disobeyed the prophets, they killed a lot of the prophets because they did not want to be in obedience. But remember, I mentioned earlier, two invitations are sent. The first invitation is to announce and invite the guest. So the nation of Israel received the first invitation of God through Moses and the prophets that they were the chosen ones of God. They received that totally. But then the second invitation that was sent, i.e. the Son of God, who came to proclaim the kingdom of God and to reveal himself as the Messiah, meaning that he came to tell the nation of Israel that he is ready to receive them, they rejected Jesus Christ. Did you get that? The nation of Israel rejected the second invitation, the first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So we are learning here how God the Father told the Son, open the door, bring in all people. This is awesome. And we know that in the ministry of Jesus Christ also ministered to some of the Gentiles. And obviously, at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church was formed, as we are told in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. And then we are also told in the book of Acts when Gentiles were officially invited into the kingdom of God. Gentiles just means non-Jews. Okay, so we are already seeing that here illustrated in this parable how the Jews rejected the Messiah when he came the first time, and the Gentiles got the Father in this story, who is the Master, told the Son to open the door for all people, which illustrates the heart of God for none to perish before all to come into the kingdom of God. So we pick it up here in verse 22. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. So the servant in this story, i.e. the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is talking to God the Father. I have opened the door for the cripple, for the blind, for the lame, which represents all people, Gentiles, all non-Jews, but there is still room for more to come. Come on, somebody. God wants everybody, everyone, to come into this blessed relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. The Jews, the Gentiles, all types of people, all sinners should accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and come into this blessed relationship. That is the message here. The kingdom of God is not limited to a certain group or types of people. The kingdom of God is open to every human being because each human being is created in God's image, and it is God's will for everyone to spend eternity with him when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I already mentioned 2 Peter 3:9, but unfortunately, some people still reject that invitation. Hopefully, that is not you. Okay, verse 23. Then the master told his servant. This is God the Father telling the Lord Jesus Christ in this story. Again, remember, the master is God, the servant is Jesus Christ. So let me just reread that, verse 23. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Verse 24. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Exactly. So we see how in this story, God the Father, who is the master, his compassion, his desire to spend eternity with all his children from all nations across the globe. But then he ended there to say that there are consequences when people reject him. There are consequences because they will send themselves into eternal darkness. They will not get into the kingdom of God and spend eternity with him. And they will not taste the great banquet. When they die, they will send themselves to eternal damnation. But as I have been saying all along, that is not God's will for anyone. So I want to end today's teaching here. And what is the key principle and application we've learned here? Number one, the key message which I have said over and over is that God's kingdom is open to all those who will accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. That is the only criteria, because Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. Number two, a time will come. God is patient and long-suffering, wishing for none to perish. But a time will come when the kingdom of God will be closed. What does that time look like? Two possible scenarios. If a person rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they die. God is still there up until they take their last breath. When that person takes their last breath and they reject Jesus Christ as God, as Lord and Savior, they will send themselves to eternal hell. There is no purgatory. Once you take that last breath, you die. That is it. You go to hell. That is not God's will. God's will is that while you have breath, you receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Don't be deceived. After you die, that is it. There is no purgatory. That's it. That's what the Bible teaches. So salvation is now. A time will come, okay, and that is not God's will. When you reject Him, just to repeat myself, at your last breath, you send yourself to hell. Second possible scenario. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ comes and we are still alive here and you still reject Him, you send yourself to eternal damnation. But that is not God's will. The third key principle and application here is that we truthfully have no excuse to reject either Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or to reject our unique callings to serve God if we are Christians. So each of us is equipped to serve God because it is God, the Holy Spirit, who will embolden and empower us to serve God. All God wants is that we accept the call to serve Him as a minister, Bible teacher, whatever you believe God is calling you to do. God just says, accept, and then I will equip you to do so. Okay, so those are the three major principles and application I wanted to share. And before we even end this session, I want to just recommend that you get a book that will really help you know more about the Lord Jesus Christ and grow more into this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is simply titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. It's a book I wrote. It teaches you how to walk and live daily in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, how to excel, overcome daily as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a Bible teaching book, how to live as a Christian. This book will really help you. I recommend you visit our Safe and Secure website to get a copy of this book. Our Safe and Secure website is drruthtani.org/donate. And this book is $33, including shipping and handling. When you get any books or any other products from us, it comes to the ministry as a donation. And we will ship this to you. We also receive donations through Cash App. The address is $DrRuthTani. And we also accept donations through Zelle. If you have a Zelle account, the telephone number for the ministry is 909-501-9031. And we will attach this in the description box for you. So we thank you in advance for getting this book. This book also has its own website, which is within our Safe and Secure website. This book's website is areyoumovingforward.com. I really recommend you get this book. It's a teaching, it's a Bible teaching handbook, how to live as a child of God and overcome daily. So I want to just thank you in advance for getting this book and helping this ministry. Or if you don't want to get a book for yourself, get it for someone, or just bless us with a one-time donation so we can put back into this podcast and pay for studio time. That way we can produce more programs and advance the kingdom of God. Will you please consider doing that? And God, who is faithful, will bless you back abundantly. So thank you much for doing that. So for those of you who accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please remember to contact us so I can send you a free book. So let all of us just thank the Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word, which is powerful. We thank you for today's lessons that you've taught us, that we have no excuses because you are regularly available to help us. Father, for all those who have been making excuses, I pray that you take this message, speak to their heart, and give them the courage through the Holy Spirit to step out in faith and obey you, and heed to that conviction in their spirit to step in faith and start to serve you in whatever area you've called them to serve. Thank you, Holy God. I pray that you give them supernatural wisdom how to begin this process, for it is your will that we obey you and that we serve you, because it is in serving you that we truthfully enjoy the blessed, hopeful, and joyful life that we have in you through Christ. Father, I thank you for all of them and for all those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. I thank you that your spirit is comforting them right now. Your spirit is revealing more of Christ to them. I thank you for all the listeners that you minister to them today through your hope, through your joy, and through your peace. We thank you for loving us. We thank you. We just receive your goodness in our lives today. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you. Please listen to the announcer who will tell you more about our ministry. God loves you.
Friend, as some of you already know, this program is financially supported 100% by love gifts from listeners like yourself. So please, would you help us with a donation so that we can produce more programs and bless others? We need your financial support. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's I-N-F-O at drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all of your donations are 100% tax-deductible, as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.